Well, here we are 4 days into the brand new year, and I have to wonder how many days will it take for this administration to get us into World War III?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I've got a number of news stories that I want to share with you today and also give you a little bit of cautionary advice. 2024, I really believe, is going to be a hard-to-forget year. A lot of things are going to happen, not just in the United States, but I think globally. We're going to see some dramatic changes in this year of 2024. And there are a number of reasons that I believe this, not just theologically speaking, but just in practical terms. The United States and much of the world keeps piling on debt and more debt and more debt, and the interest payments on the prior debt is beginning to really dig into various budgets. One of the things that we have seen, particularly here in the United States, in the past few years, the price of most goods and services has literally gone up 20% or more. And that's because they keep printing money to pay debt. And every time you add more money to the system, the money you have becomes worth less. It's kind of a hidden tax to pay debt. And the administration currently, with all the spending they want to do globally and the wars they want to get into, well, it needs more of your money. And the more money they keep printing to get into these wars, the less the money you have is worth. That retirement you've been saving up for to retire maybe when you're 67 or 70 is not going to be worth what you think it's going to be worth. I know for myself how difficult it can be to be on a somewhat fixed income. I don't work a regular job anymore, and much of what we have is a fixed income. And at the rate the Biden administration is plowing through my future money, it'll be worth less by the time it comes to my wife and myself. And this is a problem for people globally too. Read an article that somebody shared from Australia where the idea of being a young person, starting out life, getting married, owning a home, is becoming a nightmare or out of reach. You've got couples in their 30s still living at home with their parents because the housing market is taking so much money that these young people simply do not have. Even with a two-income household, they cannot afford to buy a reasonable home. Now, that's very different from when I was just a young child. Go back 60 years ago, when I was a youngster, my mother did not work outside of the home. We lived in a nice, moderate home in a town in Long Island, outside of New York City, by about 40 miles. I was able to go to a Christian school, and my father was, at that time, a blue-collar worker in construction. And we did fine. With one income, with a house. I can remember when my father bought this looking like a farmhouse in a small subdivision not far from what is called Levittown. He bought it, was able to put an addition on it, so it became a four-bedroom house with three bathrooms. And this was all done on a laborer's income. And we never did without. And my father was one of those that was a tither when it came to giving to the church. 10% right off the top every week, no questions asked. That's just how he was raised. That's what he believed all the way to the day that he died. And I look at my childhood and the childhood of my peers, we really did fairly well. Even those that would have been considered in poverty did better than the generation before them. sadly, it is my generation, the baby boomers, those that are ahead of me, and there's a few that are behind me. I'm kind of the midpoint. We never really appreciated all that we were given and took a lot of what we were given for granted and had high expectations for ourselves. And somewhere along the way, some of us got greedy. And many of the wives decided, gee, I want a career too, and went out and worked. And suddenly family became less important. I remember one of the stupidest things I ever heard in my life was a word that I think is just an excuse word or to make you feel less guilty. We have quality time. It's not measured in quantity. It's quality time. What a bunch of malarkey. What a load of manure. Quality time, that's the excuse. Yeah, we have a couple of hours of quality time every week. There's 186 hours each week. And if your idea of quality time is five of those hours, you're a fool. But that's the world in which we live. Kids are with their devices, parents with their two jobs, their little McMansions, multiple car payments, and all the expenses of this world that we have and the new expectations and demands on our life. Are we going to have some kind of an economic crash? I believe the day's going to come. It could be this year. It may be later. I don't know. And I know there's a lot of politics involved, and I don't want to even get into the politics. We know our political system in the United States is thoroughly broken. The things that I'm seeing today, anybody that thinks this is normal or should be maintained like this is really deceiving themselves. We are on a collision course with an absolute and total disaster. Right now, we have a president that many people, and I'm kind of one of them, to be quite honest, Will Joe Biden and Kamala Harris be on the ballot for the Democrat Party come this November? There's a significant part of me that says, maybe not, that something is going to have to happen. And what that upsetting event is going to be, I really don't know yet, but I've got this strong suspicion that there's not much they can do to change the trajectory of what is going on with Biden and that administration. I believe that they hired the most delusional people to work in the White House and the executive branch. And they've put the biggest and worst reprobates in some of the highest offices that the country has and the highest positions in the Justice Department and what have you, and even some of the Supreme Court justices that Biden has put in are some of the worst that our country has ever seen. And then there's a freak show of weird individuals that they use the diversity and equity and inclusion mantra to hire people. In other words, your ability to do the job, your intelligence, and your moral fabric doesn't matter. We want the weirdness. So they hire the weirdest and strangest and most evil people on the face of the planet to run our country. And I really believe that they've been given over to satanic delusion in some of the decisions that they make. Let me just share a few thoughts. And some of you agree with me and some of you don't, but just hear me out and think it through. You know, separate yourself for a moment of what you think you know or what the media has told you to believe and look at it from a slightly different perspective just for a moment. The war in Ukraine is one of those things that is troubling to me. It is a war that is obvious if you really decide to get past the clickbait headlines. It is a war that never had to happen, should never have happened. And we, as in the West, in the United States in particular, and NATO, have a lot to be sorry for. I'm surprised at how many people have no real understanding of the history of that nation. Somebody actually was kind of talking about the long and glorious history of Ukraine as a nation. And I'm going, wow, that's not bad for a nation that's only been around for about 30 some odd years. Would you say what? Ukraine as a nation didn't exist until 1992, after the fall of the old Soviet Union. Ukraine had always been a part of another country, whether part of it was Russia, part of it Poland, part of it Czechoslovakia, the Ottoman Empire. You can go back hundreds, if not thousands of years, and there was no nation of Ukraine. They had their own dialect in that region, but they were never a sovereign nation. And for many years, there were those, especially in the middle part of the country, that wanted to be a sovereign nation of Ukraine. In fact, when World War II came around, those nationalists sided with Adolf Hitler because Hitler promised to give them their own sovereign nation if they would fight the Russians. And the other problem with Ukraine, a lot of what we now know as Ukraine was really part of Russia. The eastern part of the nation was Russian. And even after the Second World War and the beginning of the Cold War, the United States, CIA, and other organizations in the government were funding the remaining Nazis in Ukraine to be an irritant to the Soviet Union. That was the politics of the late 40s and the 1950s. When the Soviet Union fell, it was decided to finally grant the wish of many of those in the central part of Ukraine and carve out this nation we now know as Ukraine. Prior to that, I can remember in my high school textbooks the term the Ukraine. In other words, it was a region, part of the Soviet Union, the Ukraine. And that included some port cities like Crimea region and what you've seen the maps, I hope. But something has happened in recent years with NATO, and it goes back to the Obama administration and even to a lesser degree the Clinton administration and somewhat even the Bush administration between Clinton and Obama, where we started meddling in that region of the world. And it got so bad that in 2012, Ukraine had an election, and they elected a president overwhelmingly. And by the way, even Jimmy Carter certified that as a very fair election. This particular president was friendly to everybody, including Russia, and wanted to keep the peace and recognize that the far eastern part of the nation was ethnically and linguistically and in every way Russian, and wanted to work with that so there would not be an issue. But that didn't sit well with the Obama administration and the CIA and many of the globalists that you and I recognize today. And a coup was launched, a lot of civil unrest, which forced the ouster of that pro-Russian president. A sham election was held, and an anti-Russian president bought in, a puppet, really, for the CIA. And when he stepped down, we helped get elected a really bad R-rated comedian by the name of Zelensky, who does the bidding of his NATO and United States and CIA masters. Of course, for wealth and money, fame, and what have you. One of the things that triggered this war, now once again, I'm not a Putin apologist per se, and there are a lot of things that man has done, is doing, and probably will do that I find despicable. But with that said, understand just for a moment where we are. You have forces inside of Ukraine prior to 2021 and 2022 that were killing people in the eastern part of Ukraine that were Russian. In other words, there was an element in the central part of Ukraine that hated Russia so much, they wanted to get rid of them. Ethnic cleansing. And that's when the warning first came from Putin. Do not kill the Russians or the Russian-speaking people in the eastern part of your nation. And then the next red line that got crossed was a treaty that had been signed by the new Russian Federation and NATO, the United States, and all the partners back in 1992, said this new nation of Ukraine will be a neutral nation, not a member of NATO, and will not have armaments sitting on the border with Russia. That was what was agreed to in 1992. But now the globalists, they don't care about any promises, treaties, understandings that they've made. They're liars, and they'll break their word in a heartbeat. And the move started several years back to get Ukraine into NATO and put those arms right on the Russian border. So you have this ethnic cleansing going on, and now you have this desire to join NATO, and that was the red line. I have to admit that I think Donald Trump is right. There would never have been a war had he been president, because it would have been very simple. Ukraine is not going to break the treaty. We're not going to break the treaty, and Russia would have no reason to do anything. This war was by design. This war was desired as a proxy war, using a nation that nobody really cared about. If you really think about it, the globalists didn't care one bit about Ukraine and Ukrainian lives, their country. Number one, Ukraine had found their place in the world after 1992, being the money laundering capital of the world. The Biden family knew that. Other crime families around the globe knew that. And even criminal elements in government understood how to use the Ukrainian system to launder their ill-gotten gains. And so Ukraine had really two exports, wheat and laundered money. Now, if you're still with me, this is what I want you to understand. I really think that the inept, completely morally, intellectually, spiritually, in every way bankrupt administration in Washington, D.C., as we said goodbye to 2023, I think that Joe Biden and the reprobates have just brought this country one step closer to an actual World War III with Russia. Even at MSN, which is kind of a left-leaning news agency, Biden now admits the United States is at risk of direct conflict with Russia if the Kremlin succeeds in its war in Ukraine. Now, I guess Biden was hoping that because of Christmas and partying at New Year, nobody really noticed what he said. But what we're really seeing is that Biden is telling Russia that if you win this war against Ukraine, which, by the way, I don't care what anybody says, that is what's going to happen. It's not likely, it's going to happen. And here's why. This entire farcical experiment with Ukraine has been a total and unmitigated disaster. Whatever idiots of the warmongers thought this was a good idea are proving themselves to be mentally deficient. Ukraine, a small nation with arms that are basically the hand-me-down arms from NATO, as it was so well put by Lindsey Graham, we need this war in Ukraine. We can give Ukraine all of the old NATO weapons, and then we can buy new ones, modern ones, better ones. So we're giving our 1970s and 80s technology to Ukraine to go up against Russia's hypersonic missiles. And the fact that Russia has a vastly larger standing army, is also a nuclear power, and still possesses all that. If anybody thought that Ukraine could win that war, they were. I want to know what they were smoking. What are they taking? What kind of high are they on? Go back to about a year ago. There was an article entitled, "With Pandora's Box Open, the Rush to Nuclear Annihilation Quickens." We knew this a year ago. People were saying, all of these headlines you've been hearing on NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, the counteroffensive, Russia's going to be just whooped. Yeah, no. It's all been a lie. It has all been a total and absolute lie. 400,000 Ukrainian soldiers are dead and gone. Put that in perspective. In Vietnam, we lost in the United States over a decade, 50,000. In a year and a half, 2 years, Ukraine has lost 400,000. Military-aged men are trying to flee the country. Part of the new army is like 40, 50, and 60 years old. The idea of a counteroffensive, it blew up in their face back over the summer and was dead by the fall. There is going to be no new counteroffensive. There is going to be no new winning in Ukraine. What we are risking is annihilation on a global scale if we don't stop it now. There are elements around the world that have been trying to sue for a peace and get this war stopped. But the United States wants to keep on keeping on, throw more, kill more Ukrainians, throw in more money because the warmongers get rich and the globalists get their goal. There's something that a lot of people do not understand that goes back to the Russian and former Soviet mentality. Number one, when Russia says they're going to do something, you can look over history of hundreds of years, and they do what they say they're going to do. Russian citizens, even a year ago, were beginning to tell Putin, get rid of the Western aggressions. And what we forget is that Russia has advanced nuclear weapon systems. They are so advanced, they would assure the total destruction of America should Biden ever get us directly into war with Russia. We've known for years about something, and this goes back when it was formulated during the time of Ronald Reagan. It is called Project Dead Hand. It is a system that still remains in place to this day in the Russian Federation. Now, Dead Hand is a fail-safe system that will automatically launch nuclear weapons at all of Russia's enemies, even if the entire Russian chain of command has been incapacitated, killed, or destroyed. It is a Cold War era automatic nuclear weapons control system. Now, we had a concept like this in America, the DRC-8 Emergency Rocket Communication System. Now, this system that they have in Russia was designed and built by the Soviet Union, and it's been upgraded and maintained by the post-Soviet Russian Federation. With the idea being mad, that's called mutually assured destruction. You don't mess with us, because even if you think you win, you're still destroyed. If we go down, you go down. That's the theory to keep from having a nuclear war, that this system is in place and it's automatic. It can automatically launch the Russian intercontinental ballistic missiles, sending pre-entered highest authority order from the general staff. I mean, this is been set up for years. And I would probably guess, knowing how the Russians work, this system works. And so Biden is sitting there like Nero, fiddling around while Washington, D.C. is just collapsing. And what you have to understand is, if we ever got to that point with this administration, that we got to that, a good chunk of America would be vaporized in 75 seconds. We'd be back in the dark ages. And all of this to play a game in Ukraine, to make the military-industrial complex wealthy. I can remember sharing on this program a couple of years ago the Deagle population forecast, and it kind of vanished, but we shared it. And it talked that by the end of 2025, the United States could lose 68% of its population. Well, that could happen with a nuclear war or some of the other nonsense that's been played by the globalists. And we'll get into that in the next segment of the program. But I really believe that what may happen this year, we're going to get to the brink of this, and this could be the undoing of the Biden administration before the election. I'm a firm believer, follow me on this real quick, that in a fair and honest election, Joe Biden would not stand a snowball's chance in a waffle iron of winning. He could even potentially lose a state like New York. It'd be close. He would lose Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and even Michigan in a fair election. He would lose Georgia. It would be a landslide. And here's the reason I believe that. Number one, among Democrats, more than a third of them will never vote for Biden anyway. And they'll go with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on an independent ticket or somebody else. And a handful would even vote for Trump. And so the handwriting is on the wall. You know, Colorado can do any stupid thing they want to do. Taking Donald Trump off the ballot just helps Robert F. Kennedy Jr. beat Biden in Colorado. And no matter what happens, this could backfire, where Biden could actually lose states he normally would win if Trump's not on the ballot. They'll just jump over to the third party. The Democrats are that ticked off, and the Republicans would come out there just to make sure that Biden is denied any possibility of getting any of those votes. It could happen. Today, this program is pre-recorded. Today, as you're hearing it, I probably have completed my first immunotherapy treatment out of town that was to start early in the morning. And in the afternoon, we drive home and hopefully get some rest. Tomorrow's program will also have to be pre-recorded because I don't know what condition I will be in following this treatment. There is the possibility that I may be very exhausted and tired for a day or so, so I didn't want to take the risk of not being able to produce a radio program for Friday, so it's been done in advance, like today's. For the next 6 weeks, I'll be going through this procedure each and every Thursday. And it is my prayer, just to let you know, I feel great. The only real things that I've got to deal with are a couple of things. Number one, the last couple of years going through this problem, I have not been as active as I used to be, so I've gained some weight, and I'm getting a little bit more stiff in the legs. You know, things that I took for granted 2 years ago are becoming a problem today. And I need to get stronger and eat better and get more exercise. And I'm praying that as this therapy goes, that I'll begin to have a better outlook on life and start, as we get into the spring of this year, starting now, I'm going to have to change my diet a little bit. I've done this before, and maybe it's so easy to fall into the trap of not eating the way you really should for convenience, but we're going to have to make the effort. I need to lose, I hate to admit how much I think I need to lose, at least 50 or more pounds, probably more like 60. I'm at my height, I really should be like 180 pounds, and I'm like 245, so I've got a ways to go. But you want to know something, it can be done, and I think that that also will help. I think a change in diet, a change in attitude, a change in a lot of things will keep me around a little bit longer, at least functioning better. There's so many things on my plate right now, and I thank God each and every day for the gifts that he's given me. I'm not a wealthy man, but I'm a very contented man. I never thought that in my so-called retirement that I'd be talking to thousands upon thousands of people each and every day on international shortwave and via a podcast. I never thought that I'd be back in a church preaching again. Oh, I've had large churches. This one is small. But once again, because of electronics and the media, it reaches a lot more people outside of the church than inside, by far. And the opportunity now to increase the footprint for the cause of Christ is something that really, it just intrigues me. To give you an idea of what's going on in the background, I'm developing a Roku TV channel. Right now, there's not much on it. It does exist. Primarily, it just contains the Sunday worship service from the church, and you can hear the podcast on your TV. There's still some work to do, but I'm creating openings where there could be other programs on demand from this channel, and there are people that I'm talking to make this channel a resource for learning, teaching, worshiping, and information and news. And the channel on Roku is called Ancient Word. Ancient Word. It is definitely a work in progress. And I hope that after we get past the first 3 months of this year and get past Easter, we really want to redouble that effort in the spring to grow Ancient Word, the television channel, Ancient Word Radio to expand, and other media projects. The other project on my mind, and I'll talk about it a little bit, maybe more tomorrow than today. I'll mention it more before the end of the program. I look at this little church building that we're using for the entire ministry that we have, primarily the church ministry, the Roku channel, and there's one little area being set aside for an online educational program to assist parents that are homeschooling. Now, I want to have something that is quality. And I'm talking to one person, and I hope maybe there's a couple of other people that I think are out there. This could become quite an operation and a great resource for parents looking for a way to give their children a real, legitimate education that is also grounded in the Word of God and to be accredited as well. In other words, a lot of parents would like to homeschool, but they're afraid. They don't know where to start. We want to create a system where parents, whether they have good internet access or not, can take advantage of this to raise up a group of young warriors for Christ. You have to start in the schools. That's where the left starts right now. They're going after your kids in preschool and kindergarten. Get them away from these perverts and these Satanists and these evil individuals. I hate to be so blunt, but I have to be. And a lot of you understand that. That is our mission and ministry with the church. And this radio program, as another entity, is an opportunity to look at these events around the world, in our nation, in our hemisphere, and put things in the light of God's Word. I'm still a big believer in shortwave radio, And I believe that in 2024 and beyond, it's going to be increasingly a big deal. And that's another whole radio program I could share with you on what God has laid on my heart for the years ahead, if he should tarry. If you believe in all that we're doing as we enter this new year, would you consider giving us your support, maybe for the first time? Two ways to do it right now. Our website, Truth, the numeral 2, ponder.com. Truth, the number 2, ponder.com. There is a tab in the menu that says support. It'll explain how to use Give, Send, Go, and it's a direct connection. Click on the link, and you can support us securely from Give, Send, Go, a Christian organization. Or, you'll see it there as well, you can mail a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, and the zip code is 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Fast food and the cross. Coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss getting your free gift that you're going to get in love in a moment. The fast food industry has one goal, to get you to eat. It's not looking out for your health. So they have studies and focus groups designed to make their food appealing. The problem is, the food that often our bodies want, it's often high in fat and salt and sugar. And so they fill it with that. And you eat it and you like it. You eat more until you feel lousy and terrible. And if you live on this, you'll become unhealthy. What does that have to do with the Lord? Well, we live in a fast food culture, and that affects the church and Christianity. Creates a fast food Christianity. A Christianity that seeks to make you feel good, but requires little sacrifice, little commitment or repentance or submission or anything else. A Christianity that's sugar-coated, experience-coated, food, feeling-coated, me-centered, emotion-based, pleasure-oriented, ego-satisfying Christianity, but it leaves you feeling lousy. You might feel good for a moment, but it leaves you with nothing. The way the world might feel good for a moment leaves you empty. The way the cross is the opposite. It might not feel good. It may feel bad even, but it leaves you blessed. The word is called bread, the word of life. Not the nacho of life, not the onion rings of life, not a vanilla shake of life. The word is not fast food, it's bread. So choose what's right over what feels good. Choose the way of Messiah, the way of sacrifice and commitment and repentance, the way of the cross and dying to self and following him and doing what's right over what feels good. And you'll end up spiritually healthy and blessed and full of the joy of the Lord. Everything else is just a side order of fries. Want more? Ask for Fast Food Christianity. You can order that. Okay, now, how'd you like to receive something so awesome it's been hidden for 2,000 years and never before revealed? Well, you can. The awesome Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. You'll love it. It's amazing. And Sapphire is guaranteed to help you become strong and victorious. Now, how about that? How do you get it? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua. And dial it. That's it. So to receive your free gifts, just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now I invite you to join me in bringing salvation back to God's ancient nation, Israel, and all the unreached peoples on five continents with over a billion people. How? Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. It's amazing. Shortwave radio. You can blanket the earth with the gospel. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Here's how. Just write to the nice Jewish boy, Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. That's the nice Jewish boy, Box 1111. It's Lodi, New Jersey. It's 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, hey, put away those fries, my friend. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you. In Messiah, Lechem, the bread of life.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. As I mentioned at the beginning of the program, To be thoroughly honest, this program has been pre-recorded. Today is the first day of what should be 6 once-a-week immunotherapy treatments out of town. My wife and I have to leave the day before because the treatments are early in the morning, and we just don't feel up to driving in the wee hours of the morning before sunrise on an interstate in the mountains. And so we go up the night before, staying very close to where we have to be early in the morning. And the entire time it takes is roughly 4 hours before we can start heading back home. And the reason I recorded the program in advance, obviously I can't record it on Thursday when I'm doing this, and or Wednesday really either. And we don't know yet, because this is the first treatment, how I'm going to respond, and will I have any side effects that may derail me for a day or two after. They tell me it shouldn't be so bad, but to be ready just in case of a mild fever or being fatigued for a day or two. Now, besides this radio program, I also have the church to contend with each and every Sunday, so I need to leave time to prepare everything for the church. One of the issues in a small church, when you don't have a large volunteer staff, who's going to produce little things like the bulletin every Sunday and print them? We use a system in the church. I debated when we started it, do I want to just go with old-fashioned hymnals and what have you, but I really wasn't comfortable because there's such a variety of music, and the people that come to this church come from so many different backgrounds. I was not going to be an easy task, though I considered it. And many of the members early on suggested we put up a couple of screens where we can then have the music and the lyrics on the screen. It also allows me to put other information up to guide people through the service. Well, that's all well and good, but it can take hours just to set up a regular service for the screens. And to double check, and these are the things you have to deal with today. You got to worry about copyright. You have to worry about all this stuff in churches. You cannot just put any old music out there. It may be illegal because a lot of the music does have copyrights for those that wrote it. And so we need to make sure that all the music that we're using is properly licensed, whether for use inside the building or on our stream. And so it does take almost a day for me to prepare everything for Sunday, plus preparing the message for Sunday. So between the radio program and the Sunday worship service, there's a lot of my time for a retired guy that's being, you know, used up. But I'm happy and I'm thrilled that God considers me worthy for me to give my time for this effort. I'm not paid at the church. I'm not paid to do the radio program. But these are very serious responsibilities to me. And I don't want to ever shirk on those responsibilities. Believe me on that. And that's why I'm thankful for the support that so many of you give to this radio program each and every week. And the many that watch the video of the services each week. If you don't know where to find it, if you want to find out about the church, let me just give you that address right now. It's pretty easy. Trinity Chapel, Virginia. One word. TrinityChapelVirginia.com. That's TrinityChapelVirginia.com or TrinityChapel.us. TrinityChapel.us. Both addresses will take you to the same website. TrinityChapelVirginia.com or TrinityChapel.us. And you can find out more about the church. And the radio program, of course, is Truth, the numeral 2, Ponder.com. Truth, the number 2, Ponder.com. Truth2Ponder.com. And you can find out more about the radio program. In the first segment, we talked a lot about a lot of things. And I got into my worries about the administration in Washington and the globalists. Number one, let's be real and understand something right now. a lot of the big time globalists, the World Economic Forum, the Bill Gates of this world, the movers and shakers with the billions of dollars, they all agree on one thing. There are too many of us on this planet. And they're trying to make you believe that we are destroying the planet with CO2 and it's climate change, it's ruin, it's destruction. And then you get complete reprobate morons. And I use the term not loosely when it comes to John Kerry, when I call him a reprobate of the highest order, a God denier in his own right. I don't care about your phony Catholicism. You're worshiping the planet. You're worshiping every evil thing God abhors. So don't talk about your phony religion. You're nothing more than a satanic earth worshiper, Mr. Kerry. And I say that by the actions and the things that you say. It's not a judgment. It's your own words that betray you. Other day, he made a statement, and I want you to think about this for just one moment and try to wrap your brain around this. I read it and reread it and read it and read it again and made sure that that's what he said. He said, we have to significantly reduce farming to save the planet or people will starve to death. Now, let me say that again. We have to significantly reduce farming to save the planet from global warming. They call it climate change today because they don't know which way it's ever going to go. They just guess. We have to reduce farming to stop climate change or people will starve to death. Now, does that make any sense that we're going to reduce farming so people don't starve? Well, that only makes sense if there are less people that would be starving to death. The World Economic Forum has made it very clear there are way too many of us on the planet. And depending upon which think tank you look at online, it goes anywhere that we need to get rid of 50% of the population in the next decade or two. Half the planet must be dead and buried in a handful of years to save the planet. Right now, young people are afraid to have families because they can't afford a house or they don't have a stable job, or we've been conditioning people not to get married. And so the birth rate is way down. The pandemic, the lockdowns, the government lies, people died by hospital protocols. I firmly believe that. I know many of you believe it as well. Millions of people needlessly died in a pandemic that could have easily been controlled and easily treated. But the choice was made at the highest levels to use this on a global scale. And I'm telling you, the one thing we are seeing, and you cannot deny this, I was reading some articles the other day that are giving me some signs of hope. Even the most fervent lockdown, you must be vaxxed individual that bought everything that Fauci and company said hook, line, and sinker, and believe firmly that the vaccine, you know, you got to get vaccinated to protect me, which is a bunch of nonsense. I thought a vaccine protected me, but whatever. They're beginning to have questions. Why are so many of my friends dying suddenly and unexpectedly? We've never seen this before. But the mainstream media and Google and all, oh, no. It's always been like this. You just didn't notice. No, we're noticing now. And the numbers themselves speak loudly. Working-age people dying at unprecedented rates. The fertility rate declining dramatically. And even the desire to bring children into this world also dropping. Economic hardship. And then the globalists wanting to shut down all sources of reliable energy for unreliable sources. I mean, what level of stupid does it take to say in California, we need more electric cars, but tonight you can't charge your car because we don't have enough electricity. And because of our regulations, it may be decades before we have it. These are all ways to control how you live. And these people that say, Bob, you know, listen, I charge for free. I mean, I'm getting free. The day comes when you end up paying for this stuff. The piper's going to be demanding payment for the tune. He always has, he always does, he always will. To build out the kind of infrastructure we need using wind and solar is going to have a price tag that's going to dramatically increase the cost of electricity, but it will not increase its reliability. The amount of cobalt needed to make the batteries to run these cars will have to increase. And who runs that business? China. And who digs it all up? Slave labor. But see, nobody's moral compass is disturbed by that because we're saving the planet. So some little five-year-old may die getting your lithium for your battery, and that's okay with you. Because I'm getting free electricity where I work. Well, it won't be free for long. The day's going to come when payment is due. And something else, a lot of these people are not understanding. People that are charging their cars are not paying road use taxes, which are built into gasoline and diesel. Somewhere down the road, all of you people running around in an electric car are going to have to start paying a road tax. And how are they going to do it? They're going to monitor how many miles your car drives and bill you accordingly. That day is coming where they're going to track everywhere you and your car go and then charge you accordingly. It's already, there's some, and using surveillance now, a lot of that out there in England to create the 15-minute city, you're not allowed to drive into certain places if you're not in an eco-friendly car. If you do, they charge you money by reading your license tag. We're, and I'm going to get into this a little bit tomorrow. We really need to talk about artificial intelligence and climate change. The two hammers are going to be used to beat you up and wear you down and take away your freedom, your rights, your family, even your ability to worship the way you choose and even vote for the candidate you want. We are living in an unprecedented time, in my opinion. I really believe that we are coming into a very evil time. I also believe, in spite of all the negative things in the news, history has taught me something. Evil since the beginning of time. And let's just start at the time of Christ and his crucifixion and his resurrection and ascension. Evil has been on a warpath because they know a day of destiny comes to destroy and take them down. And so they're going to fight and try to take as many down with them. And as every century goes by, evil knows they're another century closer to their final destruction. And so their warfare becomes more and more open and intense. But from time to time, evil pushes a wee bit too hard. And even those that thought it was a good idea suddenly have second thoughts. And you begin to get pushback. A little tiny example occurred in Virginia back in 2021 during the gubernatorial election. The odds-on favorite. I mean, Terry McAuliffe should have just walked into the park and out with the election. And Glenn Youngkin shouldn't have won at all. But evil, in the case of McAuliffe, and I'm saying it legitimately, the man is evil. The man is despicable and evil. He made a statement, and he made it in, of all places, you know, in Northern Virginia, where it's all cobalt blue leftist government workers. And he made the statement in Loudoun County that parents have no right to know what your children are being taught in the schools. That's what he said. Parents have no right. These kids really belong to the school, not you. In Loudoun County, that was a bridge too far for many of the populace. And guess what? Enough people said no to McAuliffe, and Glenn Youngkin won the election. Now, in Virginia, a governor cannot succeed himself or herself. And so come 2025, the next election for governor, can a conservative win again? I have no idea. It just depends which way the pendulum is swinging. But I believe the damage being done by the Biden administration and the freak show that they've assembled in the White House of every disgusting, evil, perverted weirdo you can find in America to run our government, it's going to come home to roost. And with Biden ruining the economy and lying about it, oh, the economy's great, as people are going, why can't I afford this anymore? We're getting closer to a world war, and some people are beginning to see it. We're beginning to see issues with the way we were lied to about the pandemic. Some eyes are being opened. Evil pushed too far, just like in Loudoun County, a bridge too far for some of the diehard leftists. And we could see a change in administration. We could see a change in government. We could, and really, I think you're going to find people willing to run for school boards in local communities. And for a season, we have a real potential of gaining some ground back in this never-ending war. Evil for way too long has been succeeding. But I think that they're hitting the Rubicon, so to speak, and the time has come to push back. And this could very well be that time. Tomorrow, I want to get into two stories about climate change and will God be mocked? And will God be mocked is not just about climate change, but it's about artificial intelligence, the weirdness that we are dealing with in our world today, the perversion that seems to be the norm, and how we can fight back of all this surveillance and the systems that are out there. We have an opportunity, and that's why I do this radio program. Granted, I don't have millions of listeners. I'm not a Sean Hannity. I don't have any kind of a platform like that, but I have people like you that listen and support. And in your own way, in your own circle of friends and family, you are helping people see the light of the truth. That's all I can ask for. I pray that we can raise up hundreds, if not thousands, of other voices like this to reach more and more people. It's hard to knock down thousands of targets instead of one big one. And so we do this radio program. We're going to start our education process for young children at the church. And I would love to see other churches get involved with us around the country and also do the same thing within their own, with their own congregation and communities. We can make a change. And it begins with you. If you've never supported Truth to Ponder, maybe 2024 is the year. If you would, visit our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. There you can find a tab for support on the menu, taking you to Give, Send, Go, a secure Christian company. Or you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowee, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowee, Virginia. And the zip code is 24319. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.